Hey there, MuggleCast listeners! I am back to inform you of some excellent news. GoDaddy.com is having better deals than ever. For only $3.59 a month for 12 months, you can get GoDaddy.com's Economy Package. And with 250 gigs of bandwidth, 5 gigs of storage, and up to 500 email accounts, you can get your own website up and running with success. And as usual, enter code MUGGLE, that's M-U-G-G-L-E, when you check out. Save an additional 10% on any order. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com.
Today's MuggleNet podcast is brought to you by Borders. In May, thousands of Harry Potter fans descended upon New Orleans for the Phoenix Rising Conference. Borders was there to take in the sights and share a lively discussion of the series that has bewitched the world with some of Harry's most dedicated fans. Listen in and watch the action yourself. Check out the Phoenix Rising Borders Book Club discussion at bordersmedia.com/Harry Potter or click on the Borders banner at the top of the MuggleNet page. Because MuggleCast has hit the road, this is MuggleCast episode 102 for July 28th, 2007, live from Tulsa, Oklahoma and St. Louis, Missouri. How's everyone doing today? Welcome to MuggleCast Live here in Tulsa. This is a huge crowd. Thank you everyone for coming out. Woo! Round of applause for yourselves.
A bit of a spoiler. Whoa. Whoa.
Wow. Toby.
A bit of a spoiler warning. If you haven't read the book, that's what we're going to talk about. And yesterday at Santa Fe, we made some guy really mad. So
he stormed out. He was mumbling something. Was,
so, yeah.
If you don't want to get spoiled, leave now.
Anyway, okay, actually, all right, we have one. Sorry,
man. We're talking about book seven. It came out.
Yeah, so Dumbledore made all those Horcruxes.
You definitely come back for Alex here in the Remus Lupins because they're pretty awesome.
But there's a few things we want to talk about today. Anyone been catching up on the news lately? There's been a lot of book seven developments in the news. I check MuggleNet when I want my news. That's where I go.
That's where I go.
But a couple of big things. First of all, we found out the character who was saved.
With a reprieve?
The reprieve.
The reprieve.
The reprieve. Arthur Weasley. Arthur Weasley.
He didn't die. He lived.
Was slated to die.
But even more so, he was supposed to be killed in book five, wasn't he?
Right, yeah.
Rather than book seven, which is interesting.
And I think Joe said that she decided not to kill him off because Harry had already lost a father figure.
Like 10 of
Serious.
Them. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, quite a few of them.
Yeah.
So that was a big deal. Then we found out the two characters who weren't slated to die but then died, Tonks and our buddy
Remus over there.
Two of
it was sad. Remus and Tonks.
Remus Lupin had
two of the most pointless deaths in the history of the books, probably completely.
They didn't even have a death scene. They didn't even have a scene where it was like they died.
Yeah. Does anyone have any idea for why Joe would have done that?
Because she's
good.
Yeah, I was going to say mean, but thought better of it.
Because I think things had to look a little more balanced because it's like all the bad guys died. So you got to throw in a few
good
guys. But
they didn't even get a death scene. It was just, they just said, she just said that they died. That was it.
Weren't enough pages. I don't know.
Yeah,
I know.
She ran out.
She couldn't be bothered to think of a of
even
a way
Hedwig
to kill
got
him.
A death scene. And
yeah.
I guess Hedwig is a little bit more important than Remus, huh, Alex?
Yeah, she must.
Oh, he's not even in here for me to make fun of him. Oh.
Was everyone very surprised with the Hedwig death? That was.
I was sad.
That was the very first one. Everyone was like, "What? It's so innocent." So.
But
so
I think it's a bit weird to call it the Hedwig death because I mean I care about animals and I have pets, but it isn't really on the same scale as Tonks and Lupin and all those people. Well, I'm sorry. I guess I'm just cold hearted then. I must be it completely. But you know.
What about your cat, Jamie? What if your cat died?
If my cat died, I don't think I'd leave my room for months. I'd be so upset.
So
that's no joke. But it is just an owl. In a book.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm alone here, I know, so I'm just going to be quiet.
Well, let's moving on.
Ben, any other deaths that you were surprised by or you were happy with? Dobby was... Sorry, I do have to say, Dobby was probably the saddest death.
It was.
What about poor
Voldemort, though? A
tearjerker,
definitely a tearjerker.
Poor Voldemort. That's
poor
why.
Poor Voldemort.
I mean... Well, think about it, though. I mean, okay, for all these years, he has all these like elaborate plots to kill Harry, and then he overlooks one tiny little thing, whereas Harry just always shows up on the spot, throws up an Expelliarmus, lucks out.
We keep having this talk, and Ben comes out with all these reasons why Voldemort should be forgiven, because he isn't really mean, and he just planned all these things. No, but, you know, for 13 years, he's been planning these things, he's been in hiding, and then Harry, as you say, just... thwarts him with an Expelliarmus, or with Hermione clutching his hand at the last minute. But then I always point out that Ben, he has murdered hundreds of thousands of people, which kind of puts a downer on his good side.
I know, I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying that he deserves a lot more credit than he's given.
Yeah.
But okay. In the book, I think Mike would agree with me. We gotta give it up for Molly Weasley. I mean, seriously, give it up for Molly Weasley.
No, seriously, it's like, we just had Ginny up here, and it was like, you know, Bellatrix throws this curse at Ginny, and Molly Weasley just comes charging. You know, the cloak goes flying off. She's like, get away from my daughter, you! Witch. it's still a children's podcast, so we replaced the B with W.
Trying to keep it PG. there's some other things we found out. Yeah. J.K. Rowling did this interview with the Today Show. With what's her name? I was going to say Katie Couric, now I'm forgetting the new Meredith Vieira, formerly of The View. Anyway, she said J.K. Rowling revealed some of the jobs that the trio are now involved in. Harry and Ron.
Auras.
Auras.
They redefine the Aura department.
No, I think they utterly revolutionized it.
Exactly.
Yeah, they utterly revolutionized.
They're the hot shots, department. You know, they're the to-go team.
Then, Jamie?
I was going to say, I can't see Ron as an Aura, really.
No, me neither.
Is that just my opinion, or has anyone else agreed on that?
Yeah, everyone was predicting just Harry.
Fighting security trolls or something like that, whereas Harry would be the one to be on the front line.
Yeah, and then Hermione, pretty high up in the Department of Magical Law Enforcement. So they're all working in the ministry now.
It's a new ministry, not the old one with corruption and bad stuff.
Not. So I guess we're going to be seeing all of this explained in more detail in the encyclopedia.
That's coming out,
She'll also confirm what happened.
Harry Potter 8, the encyclopedia.
She wouldn't give a time frame, but Joe said she would probably take her time on it. She says she has it all laid out because she has all these notes. Huh?
2010, maybe 2011.
Well, then she just give it
Depends
out to us at the theme park, you know.
Okay, but
we all just walk in. You know, here's your encyclopedia. It would be kind of fun.
But what about...
Let's go hunt for stuff inside there.
The real question is, you know, say she waits 5 years. How many of you are going to be lined up at a bookstore to get it?
Do you think that there's going to be a midnight release for the encyclopedia?
That would be really
cool. Why not?
I mean,
that'd
that
be crazy.
Will be.
I don't know, because I just always pictured book 7 being the last one.
People will still call it book 8, you know, the book one eight. Afterwards.
I guess so.
I don't know. I think so.
And then Neville got a job at Hogwarts. He's the herbology teacher, professor of herbology. So everyone's happy. These are all the predictions everyone had sort of assumed, at least for Harry and Neville, and J.K. Rowling confirmed it. Also, let's just run through a couple more quickly. Luna Lovegood,
she's basically realized her dad isn't all he seems to be. I don't know, something like that.
Rowling calls her a naturalist, whatever the wizarding equivalent of that is.
That's a naturalist.
She would travel the world, you know, finding new
plants. With no shoes on and just walk around in
just,
one of those.
You know, she'll come up and be like, they're called thestrals. And no, well, I'm not done here. And she'll have no shoes on and throw like meat to them. And it works.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I was really bad.
One thing we also wanted to discuss today was Dumbledore. We wanted to have a little main discussion on Dumbledore.
Yeah.
Jamie,
well, we've been talking about him. We've been driving a long way every day. We've done sort of 6-hour stints and 4-hour stints and 3-hour stints. And they claim that I should be complaining less than them because
he
I
should.
Don't drive. Because apparently I can't drive. I can drive on a British driving license, but they don't trust me to drive on the wrong side of the road. So no.
We'll see headlights coming straight at us, Jamie. No. Not safe.
Mikey, that only happened once, and that, you know, I was safe then.
We gotta get it straight. He's been asleep like 90%
of the journey. I sleep like 10 minutes, and then Mikey will be like, dude, you've slept all day while we've been driving, and, you know, and all these kind of things. So
10 minutes
apparently
in Jamie
I can't
time.
Complain.
10 minutes in Jamie time is really like 5 hours.
It's not though. So
really? No, it's all day, Jamie.
Well, whatever. It doesn't matter. What was I talking about
sleeping,
now? Dumbledore. Yeah, so we were talking about Dumbledore. We've been talking about Dumbledore a lot because he's a character that's intrigued all of us, really. And we were pointing out that in book one, he was sort of a mentor figure, and he's been a mentor figure. He's also acted as a father figure, sort of benevolent, you know, old man, the kind of stuff that fairy tales are made of. And then in book seven, we get a complete turnaround, and we find out he's had a worrying past. He hasn't been brought up perfectly like we thought he had to come into such a perfect man. And we were wondering whether this has changed everyone's perceptions of Dumbledore, and whether they still like him or not at all. Okay, well, that solves that one.
Let's
move on.
So there are a lot of people who don't, because they look to his past and they say, okay, he was friends with Grindelwald, but you have to look at the circumstances in which he grew up, because he wasn't really given much of a choice, because there were three Muggles that did those horrendous things to his little sister. And I think the fact that he actually turned his life around, even despite the fact that those bad things did happen to his family because of Muggles, and he's still able to now stand up for Muggles and do all these great things, I think is indicative of his true character.
And the
definitely. So what would you say really is makes that?
It is our choices, Harry. Far more than our abilities.
He was waiting for that, if you guys couldn't tell.
Every show. While I was reading that backstory, I started seeing Dumbledore in a different light. I was like, wow, Dumbledore's not all, that he's been...
All that.
All that.
It made him kind of human, because, you make choices, but not always they're good.
Yeah, and it made him even more human, considering that all this bad stuff has happened, but he's still with Harry. When he was talking with Harry, he only concentrated on Harry's deal and what Harry had to do and Harry's problems. So I had more respect for him after that.
It also, taught him something early on in life, that he wasn't good with power. That's why he was a headmaster and not Minister of Magic. If you look back at the King's Cross scene at the end of the book, he talks about Harry's a better man than him, because when he was young, he learned that power was not good on him. So I think it was important that he went through those troubled times as a youth.
Yeah, he faltered with
it. It's made him all the wiser.
Slightly. Yeah, it did. Anyone have any points about Dumbledore?
Yeah, do you want to come up and bring up... Come up.
Come on up.
Audio podcast here, so we have to hear
so you. So we need to have you talk on
the
microphone.
We might actually record this one, the last two.
Yeah, we've had some bad luck recording our shows. Let's not think about that.
Say your name, where you're from, and question.
Your social security number and frequent flyer number.
Credit card number.
MySpace URL.
I'm Facebook. Stephanie. I'm from Tulsa. And, you're talking about Dumbledore and... how people see him in a different light. I definitely do, just because of the fact that look what he made Snape do. I mean, I'm a Slytherin, obviously, but just the fact that Snape kill him. I mean, that's what made me see Dumbledore in a different light. Snape wasn't the one.
And what kind of light did that, like, how did it alter your perception?
Well, like you said, Dumbledore is, you think of him as he's never done anything wrong, he's never, but then I'm like, it's not Snape coming to Dumbledore with all these ideas. It's Dumbledore telling Snape, you do this, because we're trying to stop Voldemort.
Is he a puppet master?
Yes, that exactly.
Pulling the strings.
Exactly. That's what I think. I might be alone in that.
Right, but
no.
I think, whoa.
Oh, no.
You gotta give Dumbledore some credit here. I think the fact that, at that one moment in time when Snape approaches Dumbledore, of course, Snape has already done the unbreakable vow, because either he does that, or it's going to be obvious to Narcissa and Bellatrix that something's up with Snape, that he's not necessarily all with Voldemort's side of things. And so at that one crucial moment in time when Snape approaches Dumbledore, when Dumbledore's there with Draco at the top of the tower, if Snape doesn't kill Dumbledore, he's going to drop dead. And as was proven by Book 7, it's obvious that Snape's position in the Order of the Phoenix was that much more crucial than Dumbledore's. So, and the hero must go it alone. So I think that the fact that Dumbledore made Snape kill him...
It was a huge sacrifice.
Yeah, right. It was a great sacrifice. And I think, if anything, it should make us see Dumbledore in more of a positive light rather than thinking he's some, cruel person for making Snape kill him.
Well,
Mikey.
Okay, I'm not going to argue. Not now.
But
in the car. In the car ride.
Yeah, that's all we do in the car ride is constant bickering from the front to the back.
About everything you could possibly think of as well.
Just throwing chips at each other like, no, you're wrong.
Yeah. No, you're wrong.
And the music's a problem too. But anyway, someone around here.
No, but can I just add one thing? I know what you mean, because when I was reading that, The Prince's Tale, you know, Dumbledore just says matter-of-factly, well, you know, if you come over here and do this or do this stuff and then go and see someone else, and kill me as well, doing, you know. So it's like he acts like it isn't a big deal, and then Snape wonders about his soul and what's going to happen to his soul, and Dumbledore doesn't seem to care, but I think he does care, really, so that's why I don't personally hate him.
There's one point in the book when I felt, basically when, you know, like Harry felt this way too, was when Snape, in the pensive scene where he finds out that Harry is going to have to die at the hands of Voldemort. And at that one point in time, he thinks, you know, Dumbledore never really cared about my life. You know, he kept all this information from me. And I don't know, I think it makes sense that Dumbledore didn't tell Harry he was a Horcrux before he died, because as he said, Harry is not very rational and tends to, you know, charge head on into danger rather than actually thinking things through, which is another reason why Voldemort should have won. But
Andrew, can we just ask a quick question? What would have happened if Dumbledore had told Harry that he was a Horcrux before he died?
We had this debate somewhere, and I think I think it was at Enlightening.
Probably in the car, actually.
Someone who? Enlightening. Thank you, sir.
Were you there?
Episode 99. He's a listener. He's a good listener. We discussed that. We said if Harry was a Horcrux, if Dumbledore told Harry that he was a Horcrux, Harry would most likely kill himself to defeat Voldemort.
But Harry even then understood that after all the Horcruxes were gone, Voldemort would still be a mortal man, but with extraordinary magical power, so it would still take him to kill him. That would be rash. I'm glad Dumbledore didn't tell him.
Yeah.
He'd just try and Expelliarmus it out of him or something like that, something stupid.
That's all he does anyways. So.
Expelliarmus is like the magical, you know, spell. It does everything.
Yeah.
It's like open doors, Expelliarmus.
That, and Alohomora was used once in the book, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And it just seems like such an easy thing to do. Like, what's the...
You know, it's like a first year...
What's the point of locks? Why even have locks?
Quick question,
it's like 7-Elevens. Why do they have locks? They're open 24 hours.
Raise your hand if you read a book called Muggleland.com's What Will Happen in Harry Potter 7, Who Lives, Who Dies, Who Falls in Love, and How the Adventure Finally Ends. Okay. I just, you know, you can ask these guys. Usually I don't like to boast. But we called it.
No.
Harry's a Horcrux, folks. Just decided to get that out there. Thank you.
Ben Shane called it, everybody. When he knew Harry was indeed a Horcrux.
When we see Emerson in Chicago, Emerson fought for the Harry is a Horcrux theory, tooth and nail. He deserves a lot of credit too. When we see him in Chicago, not to say you don't either, but
he wrote. You know, the mic, so okay. Emerson Spartz from MuggleNet.com probably deserves some credit too.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Any other thoughts on Dumbledore?
Yeah.
Dumbledore.
Right here. We'll take a couple. Yeah. You in the pink?
Come on.
Up here's microphone.
You know how he said, Dumbledore said, oh, hi, my name is Shelby. I'm 14, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Credit card number?
Okay, you know how Dumbledore said that he wouldn't be Minister of Magic because of the power thing? Well, he's headmaster of Hogwarts. He has influence over thousands of impressionable teenagers and preteens. How is that not power?
It's a good question. But I think when Dumbledore says power, he was referring to too much power, because at Hogwarts he has power over thousands of teens and preteens, whereas if he was to be Minister of Magic, he'd have influence over the whole magical community, which obviously is a lot
and
more people.
He could change laws as well, which is something he knows he mustn't do because of his background.
He also admitted that he loved teaching even at an early age. And so by him taking a place as a teacher, overseeing all that, it definitely, you know, took away from the draw of power because he was teaching, doing something he loved.
Yeah, and there's no doubt Dumbledore loved being headmaster of Hogwarts. So,
Anyone else? Dumbledore?
One more. There was someone else who had their hand raised originally. Are they? Yeah. Go ahead. Come on up. Yeah. And then you next.
Then you next. Why don't you just come on up right now so you can make your way through.
Be prepared here.
On deck.
Yeah.
My name's Teddy. I'm from Oklahoma City. And
Woo, Oklahoma.
Thank you. I just wanted to say the thing about, like, how Dumbledore didn't tell Harry that he was a Horcrux before he died. Probably because that would just scare Harry for, like a year, however long he would have had to think about it. Because, like, when he had, like, the hour that he had before he had to go die, he didn't really have to think about it that much. He just thought, that's what I have to do. But if he had, like, more time, then he probably would have thought, but what about all the people I'm going to miss and all that, so.
Yeah, maybe Hermione would have, like, talked him out of killing himself or something because she thinks too much about
it. It's interesting, yeah. She points out that final scene when Harry knows, when Harry thinks that he's going to have to be the one who dies. Yeah. The way that he approached that was the most mature we have seen him throughout all seven books, is because in that one moment in time, he realized that this is what he had to do, and his own life became second nature to those around him. It was a great moment.
Yeah. And then, lastly. right there.
Hi, my name's Julia. I'm from Edmond, Oklahoma. And back to if it changed our perspective of Dumbledore, knowing what he was like when he was younger, Hermione and Ron and a bunch of other people kept saying, well, he was young, and Harry kept saying, well, he was the same age as we are. And I think that's the point, because Harry has his prejudices, and Harry also makes mistakes, and I think that Dumbledore turned out to be like Harry in the end, or growing up, realizing what mattered most, and it didn't change Harry's perspective of Dumbledore, so it certainly didn't change mine either. So.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I think that has to be, you know, when Dumbledore says choices, I don't think choices alone really shape who you are. I mean, even though I like to do the choices Harry quote a lot, I really don't think that. I think that, I mean, given any environment, if any of us were born into any certain environment, we'd be the exact same way that Dumbledore was.
And if you notice, even Harry displays some of the characteristics that Dumbledore is ashamed of. You know, like in Book 5 in Grimmauld Place, he starts shouting and saying, you know, I've done more than you two together. So there's a certain degree of arrogance from both of them, which could be because of their background.
He has done more than both of them together.
He
so.
Has, yeah.
Right, but you don't
you
say
probably
things
wouldn't
like
say
that.
Something like that. Well, you might, Mike. Yeah, no.
I would never say such a thing. Ooh, oh.
Ouch!
It's just a joke.
Yeah, and because
you
can
insult
me, like,
if you want, though.
I mean, does anybody here feel a little bit of sympathy for Tom Riddle? I mean, look at the circumstances he grew up in. Was it really his fault that he turned out to be who he was?
He was never loved. He was never loved. I agree. Voldemort was bad. I'm not a Ben Chain here, but he was never loved. That's kind of sad.
But can we blame Voldemort
Harry was
for
loved.
The way?
Not original.
But can we blame? Can we actually blame Voldemort for who he became? Whereas, can we blame Harry for who he became? I mean, when you're born into circumstances outside of your control, can anybody really be at fault for what's happened in their lives?
You make me cry, Ben. This is very emotional.
Quit. Point.
Yeah, I agree. You have a good point.
Yeah.
But I don't give Harry credit though.
Listener said.
I like Harry, not Voldemort. All
right. You want to move on now to a debate? Ben?
Yeah.
I would love to.
Ben's been itching for a debate because he's out of school now. So, yeah.
I know.
He wants to go back to school.
Okay. Disregarding the ending of the series, should. Huh?
Explain the debate thing first.
I don't know. Okay. On one side, it's going to be Jamie and I, and the other side is going to be Andrew and Mikey. And we're going to win, but we'll let you decide that, actually.
They thought up this debate to begin with. I didn't even agree to what side of the
Okay. Disregarding the end of the series.
Yes.
Okay. Should the Wizarding World have surrendered Harry Potter for the greater good? You know that part where you have an hour, Harry, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and take into account that we don't specifically believe in what we're going to be arguing in, but we're just arguing because that's what we have. Because this
and that's what we like to do, really.
Yeah,
car
we like
ride.
To
that's
argue.
That's all we do.
I'm not sure what side I believe, but we're going to argue furiously, aren't we, Ben?
So Jamie and I are going to say that, yes, they should have surrendered him, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
And you guys are going to say, no, they shouldn't. And disregard the end of the series and disregard the fact that you got to look at it from the perspective of one of the people in the wizarding community who did not know all the insider stuff that we do.
No.
Inside Hogwarts? Fighting at Hogwarts? Or just
or someone outside?
Like a Molly Weasley. Give it up for Molly Weasley, everybody.
Molly was fighting.
Molly would never give up Harry because he's as good as one of her sons.
Molly was fighting at Hogwarts, though, so.
So.
Have we started? Sorry.
We're still trying to figure out what's going on.
No.
It's an early blow. No,
you don't get it. You don't get it. I'm saying should. Like,
okay,
should.
Okay.
Should. Not will, not will, not what did happen. No. Should. Okay.
Okay.
You follow?
I get it. Okay.
Okay.
Who's starting?
So who starts?
I'll go first.
You two start.
I can go first.
Okay.
I think I got some here.
Okay.
Personally, I don't think the Wizarding World should have given up Harry Potter. The reason why is you can't give in to the demands of one sadistic, crazy murderer. You can't. Because if you do, how do you know it's going to end there? If they give up Harry Potter, who are they going to take next? Ginny, Ron, Hermione, everyone else that we cared about in the series. So okay. I really don't think they would, you know, in any means, it would be smart to give him up because he's never kept to, you know, any type of a, you know, deal.
Okay, we have a response from Mr. Lawrence here.
Moral choices are all well and good, Mikey, but you have to take into account the here and now, what was happening at that time. That one person there and all these children in Hogwarts. You have to, all, you know, all these children could die if Voldemort comes in. And I know you can think with hindsight, you know, well, I'm so glad we didn't because he happened to vanquish the Dark Lord. But don't forget that we're reading these books and we know good is going to win over evil. But in terms of being there, good and evil, it doesn't really matter because you think I have 500 lives here and I have one life here. Of course, you can think that, you know, this could not be the end of it if Voldemort wins. But you could also think that if Harry doesn't succeed and if you're standing there and you think, we have this Dark Lord who has been so powerful all these years. He's one of the most powerful wizards ever to have lived. And Harry Potter, you have to have one slight concern that he isn't going to win, and his wrath is going to be terrible. Voldemort's wrath is going to be terrible if they didn't give Harry up. And if they didn't give Harry up, yeah, there'd be a lot of bloodshed. So I think you have to think the greater good there. And if you hand over Harry Potter, all of the children in Hogwarts could survive, and that should bring you through.
Most of the children of Hogwarts did survive anyway, but
we're not talking about
most
dead.
People were.
We're not talking about
dead.
Oh, okay.
All right. Fair enough. Everyone was behind Harry, though. Once everyone realized that the Ministry was wrong, that the Ministry was lying about Voldemort being back, that's when everyone realized, okay, we should fight with Harry because Harry's right, and we should defeat Voldemort. Everyone hates Voldemort anyway. You can't say, "Oh, let's give him over to Harry," because then everyone is losing.
Everyone who did not join Voldemort as a Death Eater were living in fear. Giving in to someone that's like dictator like that.
Yeah, they wanted to
fear,
stop living.
It isn't a case of
giving up. Will it end by giving up one life? Is that one life, you know?
We're not talking about the concept of giving up one life, the concept of fear. We're saying
No, you're saying giving up Harry, not to give up Harry.
Did I interrupt you, Mikey?
I'm sorry, Ben Chan. I really am. I'm sorry.
What I'm saying is...
Anyway.
Okay. You're given a choice. Okay, say there... I love using real-world analogies. So, say there was a plane that was hijacked, and we knew that Osama bin Laden was on board, and then he was going to crash this plane into the Sears Tower, okay? Do we shoot the plane down and save the people on the ground, or do we say, you know, we can't give in to fear, we can't give in to terror,
realism,
and let this plane crash and kill 8,000 people? More than that, even.
I think I heard it in the ground. What? Really? What?
Can't really compare.
No.
You know, you can't.
No, I'm absolutely right. That it comes down to realism. Not giving in to evil is very, very good if you can stand it. But then you have to think that there are lives at stake. I have to make the decision that saves the most amount of lives and destroys the least amount of lives. And handing Harry at that situation would have saved the most amount of lives, because all you can think about is the short term, and in the short term you're going to save all these lives. The long term you can't be sure about, and even if you didn't hand over Harry, the long term could still be bleak and worse because you haven't handed over Harry.
So what we're saying is, you guys are looking at it from, like, you ignored the first part of what I said, ignoring the end of the series. You guys keep going on about how, you know, well, they lived anyways, blah, blah,
no,
blah.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, then go ahead. Humor me.
I'm just saying, one life versus 100 lives. Okay. I personally don't think giving up any life for any reason would be, you know, a rational decision, especially when you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah. It comes down to your favorite line. It's your choices you decide to make.
Yeah.
And giving up Harry to believe that Voldemort would hold up his end and have no more bloodshed, I just don't think that would make any sense at all for any people in the wizarding world who are already living in fear, who there's been so much bloodshed, so much, you know, muggle-born killings. It just, it wouldn't make any sense whatsoever for anyone who was not already a Death Eater to give Harry over.
Yeah, they weren't the, just... Sorry.
Well, I just want more points. And also, at this point in time, even though Harry, you know, giving over Harry would, you know, stop all this apparently, Harry was considered the chosen one by everyone at that time. Voldemort wanted him. Why give up your one chance to end something? I think that right there would make the biggest, you know, it's like, why give up your lifeline, really?
Yeah, they weren't just fighting for Harry. They were fighting for the wizarding community as a whole.
As a whole. But even the kids. Even the kids in the kids there. We're almost out of time. But even the kids in the castle understood what was going on. You know, the little Creevies wanted to fight. They knew what was going on. Really?
And we think...
I know, it's sad, but they wanted to fight. They knew what was going on. They stood up to a bad man.
But knowing that if you do not give up this one person, that absolutely everybody there is going to be obliterated and killed, you give up that one person because that is going to give you a chance at life, whereas if you don't give up that one person, everybody's going to be killed.
And you have to take the majority amount of people. You know, the Creevy brothers wanting to fight is all well and good, but the Creevy brothers are not going to stand any chance against Bellatrix or any of those Death Eaters. So they will die unnecessary.
Would you have predicted Molly Weasley would stand a chance against Bellatrix?
No, I think that's very cool. But apart from that,
I think the only way to solve this is to ask the audience.
Well, can we finish our point?
Actually, you guys got to speak a lot more than we did, so...
We got.
Let us just finish this point.
No. It was fairly split. You guys. But okay. Anyway, let's take a poll here.
Well, can we finish our point?
Are we going to do this hands or?
So I mean, you guys just gonna cut us off when we're trying right in the middle of a point.
Finish your argument. Finish your argument. You know, I want to have Alex play, but finish your argument.
Okay. So in these situations, you have to take into account the most amount of people. And the Creevy brothers, as I said, it's very cool that they want to fight, but they're not going to survive something like this. So Harry Potter, such a brave boy, would understand that all these lives have to be spared. All of his decisions are to be made to save lives. He himself allowed himself to be killed to save the people in the there and then. And, you know, I think that you two are going against everything that Harry Potter stands for. I don't think you can call yourself fans, to be honest.
Right. So basically, in summary, Jamie and I are looking at this argument through a big picture perspective, whereas Andrew and Mikey are looking at it from a narrow through a pipe. So
we're wrong. So you want to make sure you vote for Ben Shane. Remember
Show of hands. Who agrees with Mikey and I that the wizarding community should have
kept Harry and fought? You know.
All right. Oh, geez. Okay.
Okay.
That looks like the majority.
Okay, but see, you got to remember, it's not whether you agree with them, personally. He didn't phrase that very well. It's not whether you. No. It's not whether you agree with Mikey. No, I don't lose. Ben Shane does not lose. You do not understand. Okay, Ben Shane doesn't lose.
For people listening, someone just said Ben lost.
How many hands went up just now? 15% of the people in here, maybe?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Fine, we'll hear it then. Okay, who agrees with Mike and I? Make noise.
Make noise if you agree with that.
Yeah, who agrees? Whoever agrees with
By the way,
Jamie,
that was digitally altered, by the way.
All right, we got one guy over here.
One guy.
You're invited to the MuggleCast after party. I'm sure Ben and Jamie will be extending an invitation. Anyway, let's just take a couple quick questions. We're almost out of time. We have a few
more.
Wait,
who won?
I don't know who won. We'll let people listening decide.
Let's take a couple questions real quick. About the book 7. Just real quick. 3. Magic number.
Okay. There's no doubt about it.
I'm Kateri. I'm from Miami, Oklahoma. I'm 19. I was just wondering if you guys think it's a big slap in Laura Mallory's face because Harry goes and dies for everyone and then comes back to life kind of like Jesus?
Yeah, but she'll try again.
Yeah.
She's tried like 5 or 6 times now and she keeps losing. It's like one of those birds who flies against a glass window and just carries on and carries on and carries on. And she'll
feel for it.
And she'll keep trying and she'll keep trying. And then perhaps one day she'll read the books. Maybe.
Good point. All right. I was talking. Mm-hmm. Next question.
Kelsey from Stillwater. I just wanted to ask if, since the part of Voldemort's soul that was in Harry is now destroyed, do you think that he still can talk to snakes?
I don't think so. Probably not, since the power resided within the Horcrux itself, so probably not.
Right here. You're desperate. Oh my gosh, you're like holding your breath until you get picked.
Breathe.
Okay. My name's Ashley from Cleveland. How old are you? 14.
Okay, so house elves can operate in and out wherever they want, basically, as they've operated around Hogwarts. Why couldn't, in Half-Blood Prince, why couldn't Draco have operated with house elves to bring the Death Eaters in?
She's saying basically it'd be a lot easier to take a house elf and operate in rather than bringing...
Perhaps they can't bring people along with them. Right. Or there's something against humans coming into Hogwarts, you know, rather than the method of coming in.
Oh, I think I can answer that.
Go on.
If he was able to take a house elf, then we would have never saw where the other Horcrux was in that room. And it wouldn't have worked as a story.
Yeah. All right. This guy right here. And then one final question.
I'm Anderson Daniel from Tahlequah, and I'm 17. And I was wondering if you guys were disappointed that Fox didn't show up anywhere in the
movie. Yeah, we were.
Very.
Yeah, we've talked about this a few times.
In the car, mostly, again, yeah.
What was missing? The veil, Fox. You know, it was a disappointment, but what a, you know, encyclopedia. I hope.
Perhaps you'll explain it more, yeah.
Yeah. One last question. This guy right here doesn't even have his hand raised. Yeah, you have Alex Carpenter.
Yeah, Alex Carpenter.
Alex Carpenter is on the show. Applause.
He's so dreamy.
Stop.
A Wizard Rock heartthrob?
You guys are dorks.
Just you guys are like cool. Harry Potter.
You guys are dorks.
Alex, thanks.
Yeah, what's up? Let's talk.
Alex, were you happy with the book?
Yeah, sort of. Well, there were parts.
What bothered you?
I don't know. My corpse. That always gets me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically, when I read that, and you know, the looping in tongues for sitting there dead, yeah. I was like, Yeah. But the
Alex, right, do people ask you questions like that? Sort of, what was your reaction to your death? You know, like, well, I was a bit annoyed, yeah, because you know, I died. And, you know.
It was stunning, really. It was shocking. I didn't expect it, as I thought I was going to be alive. But I am dead, so yeah, that's good.
So you're going to get a name change, or are you sticking with it?
Yeah, I was thinking of changing my name to Harry and the Potters, but I heard it's
That'd be pretty original.
Yeah, maybe.
All right, well, Alex, you're going to come up here with your band and start performing some music in just a second.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out today.
Thank you very much. Woo!
Thank you guys very much.
Stick around. Everyone outside, come on in. Take a look at the Remus Lupins.
Don't forget, there's plenty of merchandise over
there.
Oh,
one second, ladies and gentlemen. A few thank yous first. Thank you to Adam Bromberg for driving us everywhere and running our table over there. He's been great.
Thank
Give
you,
him a round
Adam.
Of applause.
He's got MuggleCast shirts like the one Ben's wearing. It's snazzy.
By the way, I don't have any luggage with me, so I've just been grabbing T-shirts out of the back. And
Ben's suitcase is a plastic bag. It's pretty
from Target.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
And now here is our show from St. Louis, Missouri. I forgot to record the first couple of minutes where we do the introductions, but you know what happened. So here is where I started recording.
I guess we want to first talk about, at each show we've been sort of holding a main discussion. And yesterday we talked about Dumbledore. Today we want to talk about Snape. Because everyone's happy about Snape now, right?
Wow.
Jamie?
Snape's been a very interesting character throughout the books, because before book 7, really, we thought he's so mean to Harry and he's mean to everyone. And now with book 7, there's all this new evidence that shows that he was an unsung hero. Everyone hated him, but in death, you know, he's become a martyr and, you know, all this stuff. So we were wondering what people thought about Snape now, and if their position on Snape has changed with the release of the 7th book, or have their feelings towards him increased, decreased, anything like that. So, Ben?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I thought what Snape did was kind of expected from him. I mean, if you can read the writing on the wall, I thought it was quite clear that Snape was working for the Order. And I don't know. I still think Alex Carpenter likes to talk about Snape a lot. And he says, well, okay, he cleared him of one charge. He was conspiring with Dumbledore to kill him. But it doesn't change the fact he's still a jerk.
But he's not. But he's only... He only is to Harry, and he's to everyone. But now the reason he's a jerk to Harry has come out because, you know, he sees Lily's eyes with in Harry, and he loves Lily, and the Silver Doe proves that. So,
but he's still a jerk.
Yeah, but okay.
So.
I don't know if he is though. I think I agree with Jamie on this one. I mean, he was being a jerk to Harry just to build character.
I think these two are just heartless in this. He's a jerk, but he's only helped conquer the Dark Lord, and probably without his help, Harry would have just been throwing Expelliarmus spells everywhere again, just like he does all the time. I think Snape is an unsung hero, and if anyone agrees, please raise a point or something like that.
What's interesting, though, is how when Snape and Dumbledore are having a conversation and Snape is talking about how the kid's just like his father, he's arrogant, he's conceited, he's all these terrible things, and then Dumbledore brings up the fact that that's just Snape's opinion because he's had the same teachers tell him completely opposite things about Harry, how he's endearing, how he's charming, how he's good, he's a good friend. So, I don't know, I think Snape, maybe I'm starting to agree with you a bit, Jamie, but he's still kind of really mean, though.
But Snape is kind of true. He is arrogant like that. You know, I'm not saying that he shouldn't be, but Harry is kind of arrogant. And he's just how, like in Order of the Phoenix, when he was shouting, you know, at Harry and Ron and Hermione, being like, "I've done more than all of you put together," and you know,
is it true? I mean,
well, perhaps a bit, but this conversation's wandering slightly. But back to Snape, I think we should go. Snape, okay, I think whatever bad things Snape has done, and there are numerous, as Alex points out, the fact that he was playing a double life, and obviously when people called him a coward, it really got to him, because that's the one thing, he wasn't being a coward. He was, you know, helping Harry, he was helping Dumbledore, he was working on Dumbledore's orders and completely destroying himself by playing this dual role. I don't see how anyone could ever think of him as bad, and you should feel ashamed of yourselves if you do, I think, personally.
I don't agree with you at all.
You should feel ashamed of yourself, Mikey. That's
Mikey, justify yourself then.
I can justify myself, you know, I read the book.
Mikey, can I just ask how you sleep at night? Because I think, you know...
Usually I close my eyes and then I sleep.
I should try that. I've never heard of that before.
It works. You know, no light gets in. I agree. Snape has done a lot, you know, especially at the end of Book 7. You find out, you know, the Prince's Tale, he's done a lot of great things. And really that Silver Doe really kind of brings back, you know, I don't hate him as much. I used to loathe Snape with a passion because he was just so mean to Harry. And Harry was like... come on, it's called Harry Potter. I was all about Harry. He's cool. But no, he really has been just like a jerk to Harry through the entire series. And okay, I know it's building character, blah, blah, blah. He was still mean, though. And really, he's still a greasy git. And when it comes down to it,
he really is.
You know, he needs to take a shower. He needs to wash his hair.
But so do you, Mikey. But so do you.
But Mikey, yeah, that is a... Being a greasy git, I think, is less of a crime than collaborating with the greatest Dark Lord that's killed thousands and thousands and thousands of people.
I'd rather
he just needed to wash his head and he was a serial killer. I hope you all agree.
I agree that he's not as bad as I used to think, so I don't loathe him anymore. I still don't like him. He's not my favorite character.
But
he did some bad stuff.
I just think we have to understand where he's coming from. He obviously has had this eternal love for Lily that hasn't died down.
But he still became a Death Eater.
That's the one thing we haven't...
But,
am I wrong there? He still became a Death Eater.
Right, but did he still, you know, make a 180 and go for the good side?
Back, yeah.
Why did he do that, Ben? Like, what would have caused him to make a 180?
Lily's death.
Oh, okay. I thought it was his choices.
Huh? Well, but of course it's his choices, but...
Didn't someone say that in the books? That
we're waiting for you.
It is our choices, Harry.
Oh, there it is. Okay. We have to set him up at some point for his Dumbledore voice. But no, yes, Snape did have choices and he changed. But regardless, he still went down that path. He still became a Death Eater. He was still a jerk overall to Harry.
But he just had so much.
He did have some redemption. Himself back, but I still
did,
don't like
but
that.
But all the stuff he had to do, he had to weigh up loving Lily against being mean to his son and continuing the sort of, perhaps he didn't want to be mean to him, but he did it because, you know, he had to think of the bigger picture, and he had to, his soul, as he says in one of the chapters in Deathly Hallows, when they're talking about Draco killing Dumbledore, and Snape is like, well, what's going to happen to my soul after I do this thing? So, like, he's had people not caring about him right at the end. He finished his life with all the Hogwarts teachers hating him, you know, because they thought he was on the bad side. This is one man who sees the bigger picture completely, and he's completely selfless, and he may need to wash his hair, but...
The question I have for you, Mikey, given the situation Snape was raised in, can you really criticize him for the way he felt towards other people?
I don't think I can, but he still made those choices. Harry was raised in not the same situation, but in a very, very harsh situation.
I
grew up with
a
family
that
didn't love him.
If Harry, at the end of the book, it's obvious, since Harry named his one of his only kids after Snape, Albus Severus, whatever. Mm-hmm. If Harry has the nerve to forgive Snape, why can't you, Mikey?
Yeah,
that's the real question.
I've forgiven him for the fact that he killed Dumbledore. But he's still a jerk throughout the series.
And he's got greasy hair, right?
Yeah. No,
You're spiteful, Mikey.
I think Lily is really important.
I'm not going to win here at all.
No, you're not. I think Lily is really important in this, like Jamie brought up, because Snape had a love for Lily, and therefore Snape wanted to protect Harry after Lily dies. Yeah. Snape probably still loved Lily. No, he did.
He did. That's why he had the silver
even
dough
after
Patronus.
Silver
dough,
yeah.
Oh, and by the way,
we know Patronuses can change. So if he still had the silver dough, Lily still.
But the important thing about the Patronuses is that they can't lie, and we talked about this, and we weren't sure the reason why Dumbledore trusted Snape. And then we realized it's because of the silver dough Patronus, because you can't lie with a Patronus. It's very interesting and touching.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Does anyone have any thoughts about this
character? This amazing
anybody
character.
Have an opinion about Snape that wants to share?
You have to come up, though.
You have to come up because you need to be on the microphone.
Yeah, you have to come up here.
Okay, so here's
we're
one
doing
right
an
here.
Audio show. We have to hear you.
Please state your name, name, serial number, social security number, credit card, date of birth, along with your driver's license.
And MySpace URL.
Yes.
And bank card
Facebook,
details.
Too.
Well, I'm Bryn, and I just thought it was interesting that there was this huge parallel between Voldemort and Snape and Harry, and it was almost as if Snape was in between, because they were raised in a way that was not like the ideal childhood. And then there's actually a line towards the end about Hogwarts being like all of their homes, where they all felt at home. But it's, another thing about the choice is because Voldemort totally went evil, and then Snape sort of came back, and Harry, even though he experienced a lot of the same thing, turned out to be good. So, yeah.
I agree completely.
It's interesting. It's almost like you have three different degrees, and you have Harry, who, was raised without parents, chose the path that obviously has been good from the start. You have Voldemort, who was raised without parents, who chose the path, towards the dark side. then you have Snape, who was, torn in between. So,
they're kind of like salsa. They're mild, medium, and hot.
Yes, exactly, Mikey.
I saw that coming right away. I was like, oh, I have to use this.
How did you get in here with
someone
that shirt, by the way?
That. Can someone explain that?
What?
That reference you just
the salsa.
Made. Everyone thought, no, I didn't get it.
Oh, he's British, that's why.
Medium cold.
Yeah, there's mild, which is like the lowest end of salsa, then there's medium, and there's hot. And if there's three different degrees, that they all grew up on, those three types of salsa also.
I think you should, do you know what you should do? That's so good. You should tell Joe that. You should be like, your characters were so developed, they reminded me of a sauce that isn't alive.
Well, I bet that's where she got the idea.
Yeah, I bet it was.
She was sitting there with her tortilla chips.
She wasn't really sitting on a train in London. She was
her dinner, tacos and chips. And
okay, we took a little far.
How did you get in here with that shirt, by the way? Harry and the Potters.
Harry and the Potters is the Remus Lupin show.
Yeah,
it's Remus Lupin's.
Oh, okay. All right. What's your name, phone number, social?
My name is Annie, and I know a lot of people are saying that Snape mainly was mean to Harry because Harry minded Snape of James, but has anyone thought that since Voldemort could use legitimacy against Harry, that maybe Snape was, he knew that, and so he didn't want to be nice to Harry because Voldemort would obviously read his mind and see that, and then he'd realize, oh, Snape is being nice to my enemy, my worst enemy, why is he being a friend to him? And then he'd suspect Snape, and Snape would lose his position as a spy for Dumbledore.
That is so true.
Well, hold on, though. You have to realize that Snape began being mean to Harry early on, year one, back when Voldemort was Vapormort, just an apparition.
Yeah, no,
that's all he was. So, it's different then. I mean, in book five, once Voldemort actually has a body, then he has to be mean to Harry. But prior to that, he made the choice to be mean because of Harry's dad.
Right, but I'm not ruling out the possibility that he still reminded him of James. That was one of the reasons why he was mean to him, I thought. But the other reason being the legitimacy, so... Those are my thoughts.
That's a good point. Very good point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yeah. Here, I'll just go up first.
Oh.
Your name and where you're from?
I'm Nippin from O'Fallon, Illinois, right across the river. and my point was just that I know a lot of us wanted to see Snape, do something really big and heroic at the end and, in that final battle, sacrifice himself for Harry and show everyone, like redeem himself in front of everyone. And we didn't see that. He kind of died in vain, it felt like.
Exactly.
So I was disappointed in that.
And also he died being an enemy of Hogwarts, the place that he'd been the entire time. All these teachers didn't like him. you know, there should be a memorial set up to him in Hogwarts, but instead they're going to think he's an enemy forevermore.
Well, no, they won't. I'm sure Harry managed to clear it up. But it's also it's interesting to point out that it was just sheer luck that we found out the truth about Snape. That Harry just happened. I mean, in all these books, everything, you know, Harry just happens to be in the right place at the right time. You know, he just happens to go to the Shrieking Shack right as Voldemort's setting the snake on Snape. But I mean, it was good.
Are you saying that Snape was, you know, as great a wizard as Dumbledore?
Well, no. I think Snape, I've always maintained that there's like three different hierarchies of wizard and witch. You have Voldemort and Dumbledore right at the top. And this is shown in Book 7, really, when the teachers are talking about how they can keep Voldemort out of Hogwarts. And they say, anything we do is not going to work for long. Because, you know, this person can duel all of us, everyone here, and beat us all. Especially with Dumbledore gone. And then under there, you have Snape. And I can't think of another person, except perhaps Bellatrix, who has the same magical power as Snape. Voldemort obviously seriously respected him, even when he tried to kill him, or did kill him.
Well, it's interesting you point out the hierarchy, because at the end there, you know, you see Bellatrix dueling three of the students at Hogwarts at one time, and one of them was Hermione. So you know she's for real. You know what I mean?
who?
Hermione. It isn't like Hermione. You know, there's no joking about her. You know,
she's a serious witch.
But you know who steps in? Molly Weasley. Give it up for Molly Weasley.
That was the surprise of the book. That was definitely one of the biggest surprises of the book. Who would have thought Molly Weasley would have ended up killing Bellatrix?
Yeah, but more surprising than that was what she called Bellatrix when she...
I know.
Get away from my dog.
Oh, rich. Wow. Question?
I'm just wondering why... I'm Dakota Silman from Kingsport, Tennessee. I'm wondering why everyone has to think Snape's good or evil. Why do they have to choose a side? I mean, sure, he's a slimy git, but in the grand scheme of things... He helped Harry a lot. I mean, without Snape, like, Harry'd probably be dead.
He would be dead completely, yeah.
This is the exact point I think Jamie was trying to make.
Yeah, but...
He's still mean.
I don't know. I just think he's up there with Dumbledore in terms of who we respect from the book.
Right, but Mikey, wouldn't you agree that in times of crisis, someone will show their true colors? And the fact that Snape at that... You know, after all, he was good. He killed Dumbledore despite being one to.
Give up my opinion. Yeah. You're right. Snape was a great guy. I'm going to change houses from Gryffindor to Slytherin now.
Yeah.
Completely Slytherin all the way. No, not at all.
No, I'm not asking you to do that. I'm asking you just to have some respect for the man.
I do. And he did a great job, you know, protecting her. The Silver Doe got him the Sword of Gryffindor. You know, he did a lot.
We should take him.
But again, he was still mean.
We should take like a minute silence for Snape.
It's too long. We don't have time for that.
No one wants to sit in silence for a minute.
All right, you shouldn't give up because even though I love Snape, I am up here to defend you.
Thank you.
On the Today Show interview, Joe did say he is no hero in reference to Snape.
Really?
And yeah, she said that, which actually surprised me. Oh, yes, I know. She's obviously wrong since she wrote the books.
Yeah, she is.
But she doesn't know everything.
She did compare her characters to Salsa. We know that now.
Yeah.
So she might be wrong, even though I'm hurting myself in this argument.
Did she say anything else about Snape? Like...
Yeah, she...
Said he was a what?
Someone else here has seen the interview.
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Sorry, said he was a what? I couldn't...
A bully.
She pointed out...
Okay, well,
He was a greasy git. And then someone actually asked, one of the children there, they were allowed to ask questions, and one person asked, if Snape did not love Lily, would he have saved Harry? And Joe said, no, he would not have saved Harry.
You know, I think this goes back to the first book when Fred and George tell Harry that, don't worry, that's Professor Snape. He hates everyone. He's not just a jerk to Harry. He's a jerk to everyone.
But this is what we were saying. Lily played a big role in Harry and Snape's decision to save Harry. So, I mean, he's redeemed for one thing, not the thousands of things he's done.
He's been redeemed for one thing, not killing Harry.
Okay, but shouldn't you be sympathetic of his situation considering the way he grew up? I mean, wouldn't we all be the same person?
Well, if that's the case, then I should be sympathetic for Voldemort, who killed thousands and thousands of wizards.
You should. Why shouldn't you?
You know what? You're right. I should cry for both of these people.
We've been arguing at every single podcast whether Voldemort's good or not, and Ben maintains that you have to have... a degree of respect for him and a degree of sympathy towards him, considering what he's been brought up, the stuff he feels. You know, you'd feel sorry for a man who can't feel the way a normal human can.
Well, right. Dumbledore
then
says.
Then we point out that he killed
thousands
millions
of people.
But
Dumbledore even says to pity Voldemort. He says, ask him for remorse. Mm. You know, the pity the living, pity Voldemort, because we know what Voldemort's going to become when he dies. We've seen his fractured soul. If you remember the King's Cross Station chapter in Deathly Hallows, there's this crying baby that's mangled and deformed.
Should we tell our theory?
Okay. Well, do you want to do it, Jamie? Because, we figured it out on the car ride. Okay, this is all we do on the car ride, like 5-6 hours.
Besides
arguing. Just argue with each other about Harry Potter. I kid you not.
Then it spills over because we've been talking about Harry Potter.
And what station on Sirius to listen to?
Oh, yeah.
We argue over
Sirius.
Everything.
Sirius Radio.
Sirius Radio.
Yeah, we listen to Sirius
Radio. We tune into Potter Watch and,
Potter Watch
Highway.
We listen to Howard.
Yeah, I know. Okay. See, we listen to Sirius Radio, and then we come to the libraries, and we listen to Remus Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
Okay, so your theory?
Okay, the theory is, when Harry goes to King's Cross Station, and then right at the end when Dumbledore says, this is basically in your mind, we think it is in his mind, and that relates to the whole Horcrux thing, and that baby is the part of Voldemort's soul that has latched itself onto Harry, and that baby is going to die. As Dumbledore says, that is the end, because Harry has also died. Allegedly, that soul cannot, and I'm losing myself here, but that soul cannot go back to where Harry has just come from because it's evil and maimed and deformed. And the symbolism, the pure baby, is seen as a pure piece of unviolated soul, but because it's deformed and angry and crying, it's a piece of soul that's been violated. Now, Harry tries to help it because that's in his nature, but Dumbledore is there to say, you cannot help this thing. Now it's up to you. You can either join it and get on the train and go to the netherworld, or you can go back to where you've come from and save the day.
Yes, like he does, because that's like Harry's job.
Well, okay. He has helped to save the day, doesn't he, Ben? But should we get into this about Hermione always helping him and giving him the helping hand?
Yeah, I just don't... Okay, without Hermione, Harry would be absolutely hosed. I mean, seriously, she's the one who figures everything out. He doesn't...
He always wakes up, after fainting, and Hermione's there, breathless, saying, that was a close call, Harry.
Yeah, that's like all of book seven. And besides that, they were just camping out, going from place to place. That was really kind of weird, I thought.
Back to the Snape discussion. Let's go ahead and, have those people waiting.
Yeah. My name's Elise, and this kind of goes back to the Voldemort-Snape-Harry parallel. It just is something that occurred to me. With the three brothers, with the Deathly Hallows, how Voldemort's almost like the one with the wand. He wants the power, and Harry's, Dumbledore even says he's the master of death. And then Snape would be the one with the resurrection stone, and I was kind of trying to draw a connection there. It almost seems like with Snape, how we're always seeing in the memories, and he's so caught up in the past, and how the resurrection stone, it can't actually bring people back, but you just see like their ghosts or their imprints. So I don't know. It was just kind of an interesting parallel I saw.
That's extremely good, because he'd won that over everything so he could bring Lily back.
Yeah.
Good point.
Very good.
Sorry to take time away from the younger fans here. My name's Robbie Fish. I'm from St. Louis. Robbie Fisher, and I'm from St. Louis. I'm from the book trolley.
From MuggleNet. Give him a round of applause.
Yes. All right, yeah. Good stuff.
I'm partly up here just to rub shoulders with some famous people.
Jamie Lawrence, everybody, famous.
But I do have a question, a comment about Snape. I think he's not a good person. I think he's pretty much a vile, loathsome, mean-spirited person. But he's a sad and tragic one as well. Because of his love for Lily and that he couldn't save her, he tried, and it didn't work. He doesn't like Harry. He never likes Harry, and I think he actually dislikes him more than the average student. But he still sticks up for him because he is Lily's little baby, and he's all that's left of Lily. And I think one of the most poignant moments in the whole series are Snape's dying words, "Look at me."
I didn't even know what to say to that.
Robbie Fisher, right. Everybody. In case he doesn't know, the book he runs the book trolley, which is a section on MuggleNet where you have various book reviews for. And particularly now, it's going to become more relevant than ever because since Harry Potter's done, we're going to be looking for other things to read. So check out the book trolley.
MuggleNet.com/book trolley, all one word.
Yay, Mikey! Okay. How can you be angry at someone whose dying wish is for the son of a person he loved to look at him just so he can get a glimpse into the eyes of the woman
of the
he once loved?
Yeah, wow.
He was still a jerk. I'm not even going to defend it anymore. He was. That's it.
He was. It's true.
Yep.
Ooh, thunder.
It's the ghost of Severus Snape.
Yeah.
Coming back to haunt Mikey.
Mikey, you are in some serious trouble tonight.
Oh, no. Ben, you want to...
We have a few more people, Ben.
Oh, sorry.
I'll take these last three, and then we'll switch up the topic here. Discussion.
Hi, I'm Cassidy, and I just wanted to say, you know, I realized really early on into the seventh book that Snape was good just because of the fact that he was actually able to get into the headmaster's office. Because if he would have...
As in become
headmaster? Because just because Voldemort says he's headmaster doesn't necessarily mean the school's going to accept him as headmaster.
Oh, right.
Unless the fact that, you know, he was actually there to do the school some good. Because, I mean, look, Umbridge wasn't able to get into the office. You know?
Oh, that's a good point, yeah.
I mean, even though, because the you know, the ministry said, hey, you're headmaster now, but the school didn't accept her. You know,
yeah.
But the school accepted Snape as headmaster, so he had to be good, you know, at some point in him because of the fact that, you know, the school accepted him as headmaster, accepted the fact that he was there to help students learn and everything, even though he didn't like Gryffindors too much,
yeah.
You know, just based on the fact that, you know, he just thinks they're all kind of too brave and too out there and everything, but... You know.
I wonder if Dumbledore had any idea that Snape would become headmaster.
Well, okay, I hate to dash your point here, but... sorry, but, okay, recently in the Today Show interview, Joe said that when Voldemort died, the curse that was put upon the school on the Defense Against the Dark Arts position was lifted. So if Dumbledore put any type of magic on his office in order to prevent someone who did not have good intentions for the school from entering the office... When he died, those spells would have been lifted, allowing anybody to enter his office. So.
I don't know if that's true, though, because he would have made sure that all the enchantments that he put on the castle to protect it would have existed after his death. I don't think Dumbledore, who is the master of planning and making things, you know, flow and all that kind of thing, would never ever leave his castle, his home, basically, the things he's protecting for all these years.
Right, but J.K. Rowling said that when... If the person dies, the enchantment dies with them.
But she didn't particularly say with Dumbledore and Hogwarts. She meant with Voldemort when he died. I can honestly...
Well, no, she's referenced other examples of it, too. So I think it makes sense what I said.
Well, we'll have to disagree.
Do you think Snape got a portrait on the wall?
Yeah.
Can you imagine him
really?
And Dumbledore just hanging out for all eternity talking? Severus. Wow.
They play, like, what if so many times. What happens if something had gone wrong on that tower and you hadn't killed me, Severus? And he's like, Dumbledore, let's not get into this again.
Sherbert Lemon?
Yeah.
Candy Severus?
Hi, my name is Miriam. And I just wanted to say I really liked the way the Lily Snape plotline played out. I thought that it was really in character and that his love for her was genuine, but it was both obsessive and possessive from beginning to end. And I like the fact that it was there because, well, I'm a little older than many of the Potter fans. And I'm just slightly younger than Snape was when he died. And I have to admit, part of me was reading through some of the book going, okay, you were bullied as a kid, you're teaching one of your tormentor's children, but come on, it's been half a lifetime. Can you move on a little, Snape? There was just this drama queen aura about him. I don't know. But that explains it, and I'm glad she added that.
The point I would like to make is the only time that we see James in the books, like through the pensive scenes and all those things, is when he's being a jerk. Now, are women just attracted to arrogance? Is that, I mean...
Lily was.
Like, why... What would be so attractive about James, you know?
Were any women here attracted to James?
Well, she says later, though, that in his sixth and seventh year, he, like, is willing to
way less arrogant and become the, because we only see him up into this fifth year. We never see the time when they actually fall in love and that she's attracted to him, because she doesn't like him either in any of the scenes that we see.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Maybe James got the book How to Charm a Witch.
Yeah, he did.
I'm Alice. I'm from Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah.
Are you there for the Simpsons premiere?
No, that's in Vermont.
Is there a Quickie Mart there? Did they redo a 7-Eleven in the Quick Mart?
No.
We almost stopped there last time.
We should have.
We almost stopped there to see the Quickie Mart.
I love how proud everyone here is of where they come from. Whenever like you say you're from a place, the cheer goes up. But if
Springfield.
If it's England and we're like, you know, I say, hi, I'm Jamie, I'm from London, we'll just have a conversation about how bad it is. Yeah. You know? Like, oh, you're from London, are you? Sorry, me too, yeah.
I work at the Barnes & Noble there, and so we had the
party. In London? That's quite a trip every day.
Yeah, and in Springfield, so.
Oh.
Yeah, we had a kick butt Harry Potter party.
Did you put all the Muggle-Net books in the front of the store?
They were for a while. I was the one that was pretty much pushing them.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime, there was another one that was like a little green.
Oh, she'll call you after the show.
She's famous.
But anyway, my little, I don't know if this is really, everyone's probably noticed this and stuff, but I actually just thought of it tonight. Do you think the reason why Snape really didn't like Harry was because he had Lily's eyes and he loved Lily, but he also very much resembled James? And you think it just aggravated him a little more because of that?
Like a constant reminder that it was James that got Lily and not Snape. You know?
It also could be annoying him that he can see Lily through Harry.
And through James, too, because he's supposed to look so much like James.
Both, basically.
So, yeah.
I guess, yeah. It's always a constant reminder.
That's a true point.
Yeah, that's all. Thanks.
Yeah. Good point.
Last one.
Arguments, yeah.
The last two, and then we're going to move on.
Final two,
and then we're going to move on.
There's going to be plenty more room for other questions.
Okay. Hi, I'm Edwina. From where?
I'm from right here.
Right here from the library, everybody. From the library.
I do live in this library. No, I'm joking. Well, anyway, I just had this interesting point to make back to your whole hierarchy thing about how you thought Dumbledore and Voldemort were out at the top. Well, in The Half-Blood Prince, you know how Bellatrix and Narcissa come to Snape, and Bellatrix asks Snape all these questions. How do you know you're really with us? And Snape goes, don't you think the Dark Lord asked me these questions himself? And that kind of cools off Bellatrix, and she's just kind of like, well, gee, Voldemort believes you. So I kind of think that was Snape's triumph over Voldemort, that he managed to hoodwink Voldemort into believing that Snape was really evil. And I just thought that kind of proves something about Snape.
I agree completely.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It does show that, you know, no one can hoodwink Voldemort. And if Snape can, then he's got to be pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's up, dude?
I'm Alex. I'm from Birmingham. And I think...
Woo, Birmingham.
Another Alex.
And I think Snape joined the dark side because he wanted to be a spy for Dumbledore and protect Harry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The basics. I love it.
Me too.
Very good point, Alex. All right. Now we want to talk about...
Should we do our debate first since it links right in?
Yes, sure.
A quickie, yeah. First of all, though, I'd just like to say, I have a challenge for everyone out there. I would love to see Dumbledore and Snape arguing it out as portraits in the head office. So if anyone can do that, I want to see it on YouTube in 2 weeks, okay? 2 weeks is a thing. Because I just want to see them arguing, being, cut your beard, Dumbledore. I'll cut my beard if you wash your hair, Severus. Things like... Well, I'll wash my hat. You're a bad headmaster. Me?
You killed me!
Kill me, yeah. Don't bring that up again.
You told me to.
Yeah. Debate?
We can go on all day.
Then we'll debate it. Sorry?
Actually, we got the one voice.
Yeah, you can be.
You can be Dumbledore, Ben.
Here's our choices, Harry.
He's gonna have to say more than that, though.
Yeah, you could.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I'm Snape, not Harry. And then you just keep saying it. This is a winner, Ben. We should get on this right away. Anyway, small tangent then. We're gonna do a debate, which if we haven't had this section on the show for a while, but basically we have two sides, Mikey and Andrew, me and Ben, and each of us takes a side of a certain argument, and then we argue it as if our lives depend on it. We don't necessarily believe in what we argue, but we're just taking the side that we're given. So today, our debate is, and I don't know how to word this exactly, about Snape. It's Snape is...
Snape should be remembered as a hero.
Okay, Snape should be remembered as a hero, not as a jerk. So... I assume you want the negative side, right?
No, actually, I want to do a hero, so that way...
You want to do a hero?
I want to work. I want to think this through.
Okay, then. Should we do that? He's remembered as a jerk. We can do that.
No. Let's leave here.
Oh, okay. Just because you've been planning this for the entire car ride for 5 hours.
Okay, we haven't planned anything.
That's not true.
You were asleep in the car ride. You were there. Thank you.
I was asleep. I didn't
see.
It'll
be so easy. Get
time's so wasting, guys. Really. What side do you want?
Okay, well, we'll do the jerk side then.
Fine.
If you want to prove he's a hero. You guys start then.
You start.
Yeah, you start.
No.
You guys need to start.
So wait, we're defending what?
You're saying Snape's a hero.
You spin this one. I'll bounce off you.
What has Jamie been saying? I'm trying to think.
Well, but it doesn't explain why Snape's a hero. Because we've been talking about Lily.
Snape being an unsung hero, really, it comes down to the fact that he protected the lives of millions of people by giving his own life and providing that crucial information for Harry to be able to go back and give his life for everybody and then defeat the darkest wizard of their age.
You're absolutely right, Mikey, but as Alex from the Remus Lupins has often said, one good thing is not enough to absolve someone of a lifetime of bad crimes, and you can't judge someone just on what they've done in one part of their lives, you know? A life is a life for a reason.
How does that one act act as an eraser and erase
being such
all
a jerk,
the terrible
Mikey.
Things he's done,
well,
Mikey.
Because he died.
Okay. Well, it's because he asked almost for forgiveness. You know, when you ask for forgiveness, no matter what they've done...
But did he? Do you really think that Snape would say he felt sorry for how he treated Harry?
Let's get it back to a debate.
Back to the debate.
Instead of did he, Ben? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no. It's almost like an ask for forgiveness, remorse. Even Harry asked, Voldemort, show remorse for what you've done. I've seen what you can become. Grindelwald, Dumbledore felt that he had shown remorse. You can change who you are. It's your choices what you make in the end.
How can you call someone a hero who teaches at a school and is so mean to the children that they think about it all day? Harry is often wondering, why is Snape so mean to me? How can you ruin someone's childhood like that?
It didn't ruin his childhood.
Huh?
Just because Snape treated kids poorly does not mean he can't become a hero.
He treated children poorly. The people
it
who
doesn't,
are
doesn't matter what
grow
kind of
up
tone you put your sentence in, it still doesn't prove a
to
point
be the
anymore.
Generation of the next generation, he treats them poorly in a school, in a magical school, where all he has to do is be nice to them, and then right at the end of the day, he... dies for, just to save one boy who he didn't even care about. Amen. Ben?
Do you guys have anything to say to that?
Listen, Snape...
is not
Snape?
Nice.
Huh?
He's not nice.
It doesn't matter if he's nice or not. That doesn't explain if he's a hero or not. Tell me how should he be remembered,
is what we're saying.
Snape should be remembered as someone who helped Harry in the end of the book when Harry went into the Pensieve and
right,
saw all that
saying,
in the one chapter.
You're supposed to be saying he's a hero. So,
saying he's a hero because he helped Harry out. He gave Harry all this crucial information, all compacted into one. It jumped from one memory to the next, to the next, to the next. Snape had this all prepared.
Only at the point
right.
of death.
And, hold on. Let us finish.
I'm sorry.
And to top it off, Harry gave, I feel was probably one of the greatest, respects to Snape by naming one of his sons after him, saying he was the bravest wizard he knew.
But yeah, Harry, so you need to trust
so
Harry.
Even the person that is, glorified by everyone, Harry Ben. Potter, the chosen one, the one that survived, the one that lived, the one that killed the Dark Lord.
I wonder where he got that argument
children.
From.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Sounds really familiar.
Are we gonna, Ben, are we going to call someone?
Are you saying you can't
No, we can answer that. That's fine.
Okay, I'm just saying he named his son Albus
Severus.
Are we going
to trust, Mikey's saying that the reason Snape is obviously an unsung hero is because Harry called his children often, but are we going to trust someone who doesn't know any spells other
and
than
who names their kid
Thomas,
Hugo?
And who names
seriously?
Their kid Hugo?
Was that Ron or Hermione?
That was Ron Hermione.
Oh, who cares?
Okay, listen,
allows their friend to call
them. Okay, but anyways, the fact of the matter remains is that the initial choice that Snape made way back when was to become a Death Eater, was to do all these horrible things. He created havoc,
the prophecy,
created destruction.
The prophecy.
created
told
destruction.
Voldemort the prophecy. He is an engineer of destruction in the Harry Potter universe.
How does someone who plays Voldemort like that cannot be considered a hero?
You
have to give him a lot of credit for getting
in. Here's what I think we have to do. I think we have to consider the first half of Snape before Snape redeemed himself. He has all that negative ground there, okay? Then after it, once he did all the spying and once he sacrificed himself, those two halves cancel each other out. So the only thing we have to go off of is how he treated people during his day-to-day life. When he was very angry and very
mean to all the students. The reason Snape did not go to Azkaban was because Dumbledore said he turned from the Dark Lord to become, you know, a spy for us.
He was just in the right place at the right time.
In Joe's writing, you saw all the bad scenes with Snape. I'm sure he was doing some good things too.
Andrew,
he was cooking for other people and cleaning.
All right, hold on. He made the Wolfsbane potion for Remus Lupin every single month while he was a teacher there. He stopped the poison in Dumbledore when the ring, you know, when he put the ring on.
What could he do? Just stand there and be like,
why not?
If he was your hand, look
if
at your
he was,
hand.
If he was
killed
really
Dumbledore
a bad guy.
When Dumbledore asked him to. That's
he didn't want
step.
To.
That,
he,
that takes
course.
A lot of guts as Sever- well.
What did Dumbledore say, Ben? Because I know you like to say it. Was it Severus, please, someone?
Severus, please.
Exactly. Dumbledore was not asking for his life. He was asking Severus to do the ultimate in commitment to him, the ultimate for the good. He is an unsung hero.
Which he did after a lifetime of being a jerk.
Final thoughts.
We'll ask the crowd in a second.
Let me make a point here. The one point we need to make is that despite the fact that Snape was able to redeem himself at the end of his life, his redemption came at the price. He was redeeming himself for all the negative and terrible things that he did. So if anything, you cannot remember Snape as a hero. You have to remember him as just, you know.
And one final thing. Sirius said, if you want to judge a man, and we are judging a man, this is the whole matter of this debate. If you want to judge a man, you look how he treats his inferiors. And Snape, as a teacher of Hogwarts, treated his, in terms of power, his inferiors very, very, very badly. And because of that, you cannot remember him as an unsung hero even nearly, can you, Ben?
Right, and so using the criteria of Sirius Black,
yeah, we said final
Snape
points.
Is wrong.
Come on,
Snape is
final points.
Mikey, your final thought.
My final thought
final
is
thoughts.
Snape was a hero. It hurts me to say that, but Snape was a hero.
If Mikey can say it,
if I can
you?
Say it,
oh, let's ask the audience now.
Let's ask the audience.
Okay, we'll do show of hands first, and then Ben and Jamie like to think this isn't a fair way of seeing who's right or wrong. Who agrees with Mikey and I? That Snape is a hero. Okay, that looks like a lot of people.
That's about 1%.
Ben and Jamie, look around.
Yeah, Ben, you agree?
All right, who agrees with Ben and Jamie that Snape is not a hero? Why do you keep taking these sides that are...
No, you can't win.
It's because I flipped it on them.
Yeah.
We won yesterday, but you know, by the crowd
we
at least.
We didn't win yesterday. That's the difference.
No, we have an audio file to prove it.
Yeah, whatever.
We'll discuss this later in the car. Okay?
All right, yeah,
I think we will. And by the end of the car ride, we'll have them convinced that Snape wasn't a hero.
We'll post an
update. I'm okay with that one.
All right, so to wrap up the show today, let's discuss, does anyone have any thoughts about the book?
Hold on a sec. Alex Carpenter, is Snape a hero? Yeah! It's his concert. He calls the shots. We win.
Okay.
Hey, there we go.
You win, but that's my
opinion.
Anyone
have any thoughts about the book? Did they want any questions about the book? Something
Or about the encyclopedia that's coming out.
Or anything recently? Recent in the news.
Okay, actually, my mom came up with this, and I'm Kristen from Eureka, and we're actually a Harry Potter fan club called the DA, and my mom is the teacher sponsor. And she came up with this. What do you guys think if when Harry summons on the resurrection stone, if the spirits come through the veil? Because Joe did say we were going to see the veil.
How would they get there that fast? Are they, like, flying, or... My question is, how did they get to Hogwarts fast enough? That's a really cool idea. But how would they get to Hogwarts fast enough? Magic. It's magic. Who would guess the series would have magic in it? Really? Wow. Okay.
That is a shocker.
Here's the thing that gets me. The veil wasn't in the book at all. Especially since Jeff said that.
Except on the U.S. cover, right, guys?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
There was so much that didn't go into the books, though, that we thought was going to go in. There was the veil. There was the Ford Anglia.
Yeah, the reprieve would happen in book 5, not book 7.
And there was the Mirror of Erised, you know, all these things.
Fox. Yeah, I would like to see that bird again.
got a nice little line for me now. Okay, you next.
Oh, wow. Everyone wants to get their question in.
Sorry. What did you guys think of Ginny being such a background character in this? The last couple of books have built
I shed a tear.
The last couple of books have built up to her being so strong, and then she's just, like, the last image we have of her prior to the epilogue is her crying on her mom's shoulder. I mean, that's such a weak image, and she she was supposed to be so strong, but she wasn't. And
you know,
it really, really bothered me that at the end there when her parents are like, oh, you, Ginny, you can't fight. You can't do all these things. When she's out there, already been out there and done it, you know? That just really made me mad.
I was a little upset.
That's annoying. Sorry.
Okay. Well, I was a little upset, but I think it's set up for my favorite scene, the Molly Weasley coming after.
Give it up for Molly Weasley.
Come on. And she's like, can you imagine? I can't wait till the movie. I really can't wait till the movie. Can you imagine Molly Weasley throwing her cloak and going, get away from my daughter, you witch! And just like crazy, and just like crazy with the spells. It'd be amazing. Yeah. I just can't wait.
All right. Next question. We got to move through these fast. We'll cut it off at whoever's at the end there.
I'm Kristen from Webster Groves. I had an idea. Why couldn't Harry have been behind the veil when he was talking to Dumbledore at the end?
Ooh.
Well, because
he wasn't in the Department of Mysteries.
The chapter was King's Cross. King's Cross?
But it wasn't actually at
King's Cross.
Yeah, they were
They didn't close it down.
So Voldemort and Harry could come in there, and Dumbledore.
I got the answer.
How would talking through the veil get you to King's Cross?
That was a sign, though.
Not literally.
Okay. You know what happens when you die? I don't know. I haven't died yet, so maybe.
No, I don't know either.
I know why I can't be there. Because Sirius wasn't there talking with him. It was just Dumbledore.
Yeah, but the veil could be a big place.
Why? Why? Who says the veil?
Because that's where he went through.
But who says...
I'm joking, okay? Just stop.
Required.
Just stop. I'm joking. Okay. It's a bad joke. No one laughed. Leave it alone. Sorry.
Aww. Poor Mikey.
I'm Casey from Belleville, Illinois. Represent. quick comment. At least Snape and all the male characters in Harry Potter should be sympathetic because they always fall for the wrong girl first. And that should be a theme for you guys. I mean that's a theme for me in my life. You know, always fall. Yeah. No. Anyway. all right.
Wow.
Yeah. That's right. All right. Now, once Voldemort cast the Avada Kedavra curse on Harry and the little part of Voldemort and Harry died, do you think Harry can still speak Parseltongue? And all the powers associated with Voldemort, does Harry still have that?
I don't think so.
No. Yeah. Because Dumbledore's explanation, he said that's where the powers came from.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Next.
And also, just a quick comment on that. Also about being able to like open the Chamber of Secrets, you need to be able to use Parselmouth or Parseltongue. And again, Ginny was able to open it because she had part of Voldemort's soul.
Harry was able to open it because that was not a nice thing.
He repeated it over and over again.
Yeah, but still, it's like
still
that doesn't seem to work. I don't think.
Well,
Ron speaking.
That's Howard.
Sorry, go on.
Hi, I'm from the DA, Eureka. And I was wondering, did you guys figure out who got the magical powers late in life?
No, we didn't. We thought of a few people, but none of them worked.
Yeah,
there was no clear explanation, and that's gonna have to be answered in one of these million interviews that Joe's doing.
She'll probably do it online. She'll probably just answer on her website.
There's a chat.
Have Micah say
Sunday.
It.
There's an online web chat on Sunday, so that'll hopefully question gets posed to her. Everyone wants to know that. Good. Yeah. Next, we got to move through quick.
Hi, I'm Bryn again from Eureka, and I want to say this for my mom, because she, when they were talking about Harry and the little picture of him on his toy broomstick, and talking about how he almost killed the cat, they were wondering what happened in his head to the cat. So my mom thought maybe it was Crookshanks, because they said Crookshanks was at that pet place for forever. Yeah. So maybe, hopefully, you know, someone will ask Joe and see if that's right or not.
Maybe we'll see that in a flashback scene in the movie.
Hi, I'm Peter.
And I'm Devin. We're brother sister. We're all always on road trips when the books come out, and it gives us a lot of chance to read them and talk about them. But one thing that we really wondered about and that bothered me a lot was that Ron was able to open the Chamber of Secrets using Parseltongue, because I always viewed it more as a gift than as a language and that can be learned. And so that's what bothered me a lot about it.
Yeah.
I don't think – is it you think it can be learned or it can't? I don't think it can't. I think it's ridiculous. Also a gift. And I was under the impression that only the heir of Slytherin can open up in the Chamber of Secrets. So, you know, if Ron just walks up there and hisses at the thing and it magically opens, I mean, it fit into the plot well. Oh, that's right. He had it around his neck, didn't he? Yeah. So I guess it was he was disguised as the heir of Slytherin.
That could be it.
Oh. But still, you can't just go and expect it to open.
Well, you might be able to.
You can't, but I could.
All right, next.
Hi, my name is Jesslyn. I'm from Edwardsville, Illinois. I'm actually one of your transcribers.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Bunglecast/transcripts. Something like that.
Yeah. But my question was, at King Cross Station, will Dumbledore was there also, and how did Dumbledore not go on, and how is he at Harry's, like, when he dies? Because, like, I understand he had to be there for, like, you know, to tell him what happened and everything, but I didn't really understand why he was, like, how he could be there.
Good question. At the end there, Dumbledore tells Harry that it's all in his mind. So, I don't know. I guess, again, it's you don't know what happens when you die. So, maybe Dumbledore will be there when we die, too. Yeah. Who knows? Yeah, wouldn't that be sweet?
Yoda will be there when I
die. It's all choices, Ben.
Let's get these five really quick. We have to move really quick.
I'm Shay from Florissant. Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boom. Almost like all the websites are talking about how Bellatrix is dead, and it never really states that she'd actually died. And plus, I don't think Molly could have actually killed anyone.
Well, that's why. Someone's upset. It wasn't stated. Everyone sort of just assumed, didn't they?
Yeah.
Guess I'll have to reread that. But yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, we'll have to look into that.
We'll look into that.
I'm trying to remember.
I'm Ryan from Florissant.
Again. Ooh, okay. Question?
Back to Snape again. Sorry. I know it's been done a few times. But in Order of the Phoenix, he goes to the Order after Harry says they've got Padfoot, which is another reason that proves he's a hero. Yeah. It's just...
Boo.
I know, I'm just kidding. I do agree that he's a hero in a way.
me too.
But it's not like I'm I've said that all along. We just took the other side for the sake of arguing.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you guys need all the help you can get. Go.
Hi, I'm John. I'm from Festus. And I was wondering, when Professor McGonagall opens the Ravenclaw common room, she answers a question, where do vanished objects go? And she says, they go into non-being, which means
everything.
And I was wondering if that could be where Harry went, like he was vanished into everything, if that was where he went when he went to King's Cross.
Interesting.
One second. Back to the Molly Weasley thing. We actually don't know what spell she used. We just know it was a curse. But one thing that does say, I lost it a second ago.
What color was it?
It doesn't say. Never touch my children again, screamed Molly Weasley. Bellatrix laughed, the same exhilarated laugh her cousin Sirius had given as he toppled backwards through the veil. And suddenly Harry knew what was going to happen before it did. Molly's curse soared beneath Bellatrix's outstretched arms and hit her squarely in the chest, directly over her heart. If it's we want to take it as the same curse that hit Sirius, it was a stupefy spell then. So she toppled over and fell down. We don't know what curse she used. So it doesn't mean Bellatrix was dead. She might be in Azkaban again. Who knows?
Yeah.
She might have snapped her neck on the way down. She hit the ground, though.
All right, this guy right here.
Wow, this crowd really hates Bellatrix.
Ben.
Hi, Jeremy from here, St. Louis. One thing that I kept thinking when I was reading the book was the movie. Like, it's going to be so hard for them.
That's what I kept thinking.
Think about, like, for instance, when they go to Godric's Hollow and they're in Polyjuice Potion.
Yeah.
Think about they're going to have other actors playing, you know, Harry and Hermione in that scene, or they're just going to have to get that whole thing out. And they're just not going to do it, and they're just going to get rid of that Polyjuice potion part. And then also, I don't know about you guys, but I'd love to see like a 3.5-hour, 4-hour movie for that last
That'd be a good way to end it.
because so much is going on. You just want to see it all happen. And I don't know if they're
Well, hopefully
do that
they'll do that for the seventh one. The sixth will be.
Yeah, it would be a great way to end it.
Yeah.
This guy
I suggested maybe Peter Jackson taking and doing like an 8-hour Deathly Hallows film.
Lastly, this guy.
I think an 8-hour movie would be boring.
Mikey, you should do it.
I should do it. I'll direct it.
Sean here from St. Charles, Missouri.
Woo!
Yeah.
Final question here. Where in the beginning of the book, the Dursleys left, but it didn't specify where they went. Any suggestions on where they went?
That was upsetting, though, because we were kind of looking forward to seeing them.
Yeah.
Especially more of Dudley, maybe more of an explanation as to why he suddenly felt so attached to Harry. But
no, we didn't get anything about that.
That's epilogue material. Encyclopedia material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All right. I think that just about does it. Alex, one last question.
Hi, I'm Alex Carpenter from Los Angeles.
Yeah!
Represent California.
Why'd you come all the way over here?
Because St. Louis is awesome. Why else? And I wanted to know if you guys shared my theory that Voldemort was actually a robot the entire time.
Ooh.
I agree completely.
I have a lot of backup.
Definitely. We got a Wizard Rock band coming out. We don't have time to get into that.
I'm sorry.
Alex, you staying for the next show?
Yeah.
I think everyone else here should too.
Yeah, stick around for the...
Stick around. You guys ready to see Alex and his band perform? Fantastic music.
They're really good. Just stick around.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everyone, for coming. We've got some great music coming up.
But wait a sec. Once again, thank you, Adam Bromberg, our merchandise guy, selling the MuggleCast t-shirts there along with Remus Lupin's merch. Right, Mikey? And so go over there, pick up t-shirts, et cetera, from him. Adam Bromberg. Give him a round of applause. He's been driving us. He's been a great guy.
Looking miserable over there. Thank you, everyone.
He's tired. He drove 6 hours
Cardinals.
To get here.
Yeah.
We slept. Hi, everybody.